Phil Hendry.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-520-1KFI and 520-1KFI. And tonight, as the result of a little bit of laryngitis, which I continue to have, we're going to be featuring a best of. It's not going to be full best of, though. We're going to be playing selections from our CDs from 1994 all the way on up through 1998. We may even squeeze in a cut from our 99 CD, but a week from yesterday, coming up next Thursday, next Thursday night's show is going to be devoted partially to a radiothon. And we're going to have a radiothon to sell our 1999 CD, Communism is Neat, the best of the Phil Hendry Show. And the money's going to go to my friend's place, and it's $23.50 shipping and handling, $3.50 shipping and handling off the website, $20 for the CD. But we thought if we sell it to you over the phone, more of you guys will be accessing it, and that way we'll sell more and we'll make more, and you know, my friend's place benefits from that. Because we have an awful lot of people saying, I don't have a computer, how else can I get the CD? And there just isn't any other way. So we will do our, is this our second radiothon? This will be our second radiothon for the 1999 CD, coming up on Thursday night, March 16th, starting at 7:05, thereabouts. And that will be to sell our 99 CD. So as a sort of a kickoff or as a prelude to that tonight, we're going to be running some cuts from our 94, our 95, our 97, and our 98. And I called my wife tonight, and I said, we need copies of the 94 and 95 CD. Can we send a messenger to the house? And will you put it in an envelope, baby? And will you send it on over to us? And she said, sure. And I forgot that I actually was employed in the year 1996, and we had one that year, too. So those will be 3 years, or they should have been three. We'll have 2 years from Miami, and we'll have 3 years from Los Angeles. And we'll be running cuts from the CDs tonight. We're also going to have, hopefully, a visit from Bud Dickman with his top 10 head injuries. And I forgot Mike Schaefer, my producer, doesn't like me to tease anything because he thinks teasing sounds lame as hell. And I agree with him. But I thought I'd do that, Mike, because I'm a little bit feverish, too. I'm a little bit delirious. And Schaefer went down the street to Ruben's Red Hots tonight. I got myself the Bull Hamburger. The rest of these guys are slopping it down. It's going to smell like a death pit in here in about 3 minutes with all those onions and all of it. It smells like somebody's armpits already in here. Boy, I love that stuff. Love that Ruben's Red Hots. They make a damn good hamburger down there. And one of the things about ordering up, for instance, any garlic-laden food like Chinese food, you walk into a room, as good as it tastes, it smells like somebody really, really ought to give it a try with a shower. It's day five, would a shower kill you? So, you know, you just don't want to walk into a room where they're throwing all their food into a big can and people have to work in there, and the enclosed spaces here of our studio necessitates an open window now and again. But with these Reuben Red Hots, you don't have that problem at all. With the delicious hamburger feast from Reuben's down the street, it's beautiful. And everybody else is eating, and I can't because I'm on the air. Some of my fries. Here's my hamburger. Is this the bull that I got, Mike? How come everybody else looks like they got a 50-course meal, and I got a bag of this and a little... Ooh, styrofoam. Bad news, man. Not ecologic. What did you get? You got a Red Hot? That dude isn't supposed to do that. Did you get yours wrapped in paper, Melissa, or is it in a styrofoam container? Isn't that non-ecologic? Isn't that un-PC? Isn't that a death warrant? Isn't some tree hugger going to come along, man, and take a pot shot at us? The last time I saw this, I was at McDonald's. God, for the good old days of styrofoam containers, much easier to use. Far and away, a far superior way of packaging a hamburger. I don't care if it chokes a duck. Not that I have anything against ducks. McDonald's don't use no styro. I know that. But they used to. But Ruby, man, he's doing it. He's doing it up. So check it out. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Anybody don't like it, bug off. Go listen to another show. Yeah, I say that with all due respect. Even when I tell you to listen, you guys still do. I was going to have fun tonight because we're going to talk about our show, how we do it, what it takes, which ain't much. And again, promote our big radiothon, which will be happening on Thursday night the 16th. We are going to be selling our Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD. By the way, we had a discussion just before I went on the air about Dutch Schultz's last words, or the last words of Dutch Schultz. Anybody familiar with this? It's kind of interesting. I don't know how I stumbled on it, but I think I was looking up Dutch Schultz on the internet one night, because I do have a little sort of a passing yet an enthusiastic interest in gangster life 20th century, back in the old days of the 1900s. And I put Dutch Schultz's name into a search engine, and up popped Dutch Schultz, the last words of Dutch Schultz. If you find the last words of Dutch Schultz, this is like a fever dream. This guy was a Jewish gangster in New York in the 30s, got shot by some rival gang members, and the last words are it's like a tapestry, it's poetry, something about transcendent gorillas and, you know, transparent rabbit hutches. It's great.
Phil Hendry Show coming down the line in 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Tonight, we're going to roll a little bit of a best of. By that, I mean we are going to be playing you cuts from our 94, 95, 97, and 98 CDs. We'll also give you a little bit of a teaser from our 1999 CD. If you're new to our show, and maybe you've heard about it, and maybe you haven't, and maybe you think you know what it is. We like to use that line from Chinatown, you know, where John Huston looks at Jake Gittes and he says, "You think you know what's going on, Mr. Gitts. You may think you know what's going on, but do you really?" There's all kinds of shows, there's all kinds of radio, and there's all kinds of things you can do with your time at night. One of them is listening to this show. We have a lot of people who have been listening and following us for many years, and we do a certain thing on this show that we think, in fact, we know, is unique to radio in this country. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to play some cuts from our CDs, and we're going to tell you that a week from yesterday, coming up next Thursday night, the 16th of March, we're going to have a radiothon. A radiothon to make available to people without computers the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. So you can pick up the phone and call us, and you'll be able to buy the CD directly from us over the phone Thursday night. We have reached the $98,000, it's $98,692, and this, if we don't punch it past $100,000 by next Thursday night, this definitely will get us past $100,000. We got a little less than a week before Thursday, and we're at 98,692. So I'd say by Wednesday night, we'll be at 99,000 even. We'll probably sell two more, and then on Thursday night, we'll be able to really kick that thing over the $100,000 mark for my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. That's the benefactee of your largesse, of your generosity. We appreciate it, and those are the guys that we've been working with for the 3 years that we've been on in Los Angeles. And a lot of the material you're going to hear will be from our Miami days, when much of the money was raised for Center One in Fort Lauderdale, which is a resource center for people affected by HIV-related diseases, and they do great work, too. And they are still being benefited by great people in the Miami area. We're on WINZ in Miami. These cuts that you're going to be hearing will be from another Clear Channel station, WIOD, when we were on the air, and IOD was a talk station. So that's coming up tonight, and other stuff. So let me tell you about what's happening at, oh, by the way, what is our affiliate in San Antonio's AOI, right, Mike? Oh, he ain't listening to me. Look at him shoveling the food down and talking to his girlfriend. You're married, pal, remember? WOAI? Would you get him off the phone for what's our affiliate in San Antonio? OAI, thank you, because I blew it about five different ways to sunset while you were chit-chatting on a red hot. Well, you had a red hot in one end and in the other. I know. Eat that dog with a bun. Do you mind? And it just would make me feel better watching you eating a hot dog. Have a bun wrapped around it. So, OAI in San Antonio were running a Skippy and Frank bit, and they were running a OAI ID over top of that because they were afraid people would think it was a different radio station. I understand. In any event, that was a little bit of a conversation that we were having earlier. But I want to mention that we have the brand new washing machine, and my wife's afraid to use it. I've been telling you the last couple of nights that our washing machine blew up twice. The Sears brought us a brand new one, and my wife is so traumatized by the first two explosions of the old washing machine, she's afraid to turn the new one on. She's literally afraid to use it. It's sitting there. It has all the little plastic containers. It has the handbook sitting in it. There's a big bag of laundry sitting next to it. She doesn't want to use it. She's scared to death. She has been traumatized. She's been damaged by the exploding washing machine. So I may never wear a clean shirt again. Thus, I take this stuff down to the laundromat myself. Also, the kids and the wife will be leaving on the big red boat very shortly, the big trip to Disney World, where they will luxuriate at some private island in the Bahamas, some place that, I don't know, the Dole Pineapple Company or somebody, some large, you know, imperialistic concern has taken over. Part of the Bahamian government has lent them or given them an island. Somehow Disney's got an island. Marlon Brando, somebody gave him an island, and you can go there. And so they'll be kicking for like a week while I'm sitting here afraid to use a washing machine, wearing a shirt that smells like a Reuben's Red Hot. So while they're away, I guess I'll have Melissa and Craig and maybe Jeff and certainly Mike over to the house, and we'll drink and smoke cigars or something. Okay? There ain't no furniture. We got a little bit of furniture, but there isn't enough. You don't mind sitting on a floor, do you? And we got a billiard room, but no pool table. You don't mind that either? Okay, great. All right, so anyway, coming up, we're going to be doing our best of. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the Phil Hendry Show, if you don't mind. I do a show that is theatrical. By that, I mean there are characters that populate this radio show. We have characters. We have me, and we have different characters that are guests. I do the voices of the characters. Many people who listen to the show for a long period of time get exceedingly irate when I do this. And we do this about twice a year when I tell people how our show is done. But I will tell you something, and forgive me for this, but I'm going to indulge myself anyway. I get really tired of not getting credit for what this show is really all about. This is a show that is highly theatrical, takes a lot of work, and strains the hell out of my voice, as you can hear. Because not only am I doing Phil Hendry, I'm also playing the part of different characters on the phone. And most people who hear this show for the first time haven't a clue. The other thing that's really embarrassing is most people who write about radio or critique radio for a living, they don't know what's going on. Or they say, oh, well, it's he does voice shtick. Well, you've heard guys do voice shtick. We've taken it to a whole new level. A whole new level. I understand that I have my detractors. I understand that there's people who think they recognize what it is that we're doing. They don't. We have invented a whole new kind of radio theater. We've invented a whole new kind of radio satire. And in the process, we've exploded and exposed, for the most part, what a load talk radio is. And we've been doing it for 10 years. And I don't mind the criticism. I don't mind people saying, oh, it's old shtick, because it's not. It's entirely new, entirely unique. It involves improv that brings the listeners online, the callers who are unaware that the person they're talking to is a fictitious, made-up voice. Nobody has ever done that in the history of radio. There's the Jerky Boys, but they make out calls. Nobody's ever done what I do, which is actually draw the calls to the show, improv with them, don't set them up. Only thing set up are the characters themselves, and create a new kind of radio theater. Now, and by the way, the Jerky Boys are on a radio, and how tough is it to make a crank call? How tough is it to phone, you know, call a number and start sticking the guy on the other end? But I digress. Now, we do this without setting up calls. I've never, ever, ever in my life set up a phone call. I've never had a friend call in. I don't have actors calling in. I'm embarrassed for certain radio writers for newspapers who call me up and say, God, I love your show, Phil. Who are those actors that you hire to do the voices? These are people that critique radio for a living. That's how freaking embarrassing it is, especially here in Los Angeles. I let you guys in on a secret listening to us nationally. The radio writing in this town, if you think it's bad in your town, it is horrific in Los Angeles, because really what all the radio writers here want to do is they want a TV beat. They want to cover films. They want to go over to Charlton Heston's grave and spit on it. I don't know what they want to do. They want to eventually swim in Bo Derek's swimming pool, but they don't want to write about radio, and they have to. Otherwise, it's back to the Pet Patrol and the obituaries. So they got to write about radio if they want to get kicked upstairs to the TV and a film beat. So the radio coverage in L.A. is the worst. And I say this, and I'm proud to say it, that I've been on this for a long time, that radio is an art form, radio is theater, and anybody that doesn't recognize that or doesn't utilize it to that end is chicken, shouldn't be in the business, man, shouldn't be 100 miles within a microphone, ought to be doing something else if they're too freaking embarrassed to use the medium for what it really should be used for, theatricality and entertainment. Because if you think you're getting truth out of the radio, you ain't get any truth here any more than out of the television. This is crap. This show exposes it unlike any other. Which, by the way, I'd like to make a mention, WFLA in Tampa, how is it that Lionel is on your website with his own biography and everything, and I've been on the station there since October, and there ain't nothing? I sent an email tonight disguised as a fan saying, how come Phil Henry's bio isn't on your website? Signed, Phil Henry. Then I realized I shouldn't have signed my own name. Oh, well. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Sunrise, hello. Sunrise.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Good.
I got a question for the lady.
Yes.
Are you a made-up lady?
I beg your pardon?
I don't know how to put this. I'm trying to be polite, but I ain't never heard anybody talk as bad as you do.
What do you mean? Are you scared?
Yeah.
Of what?
I mean, I don't understand how.
What's
you're
your question,
women
sir?
Down.
What is your question, sir?
Well, it seems to me that this lady's she's got to be a joke on your show, is she?
No.
She's
are you?
Real.
Are you a joke?
You shouldn't let her talk that much. This
are you,
is ridiculous.
Are you a joke, sir?
How do you do that to people?
You are a joke, aren't you?
I'd like to.
Do
yeah,
what
sometimes
to people,
I joke around, but
don't
I'm very
hit
serious
me.
Right
the,
now.
You would love to be able to give your wife a sponge mop so you don't have
yeah,
to spend all kinds of money.
Sponge mop up your ass.
Hey, why don't you stick the sponge mop up your ass? I think
sponge
you,
mop on Valentine's
so you'd
Day.
Rather, so you'd rather
my
give
wife
her a
is
big,
a lady. She
and
wants
what are you
to
going,
give you flowers.
What are you going to give her on Valentine's Day?
Sponge mop.
Oh, you're going to give her a sponge mop?
Yeah, I give you the sponge mop.
What are you giving your
you
wife?
You stick it up your ass. You can wipe brush
you sound like a
day.
You sound like a man who's...
You'd be a better cleaning lady than you are a talk show host.
Does your wife run your life? Sounds
you
like it to me.
You are one of the ignorantest people I have heard.
Ignorantest?
I
how
put
are
you in the class
that?
Of Neil Rogers.
I beg your pardon?
I put you right in the same class as Neil Rogers.
Thank you. I take that as a compliment.
As a
now,
what?
A compliment. Now,
that
are
shows
you going,
how ignorant you are.
Are you going to be giving your wife a ring for Valentine's Day?
No, I'm going to give her flowers and dinner.
Oh, isn't that original? Oh,
yes.
God, he's a real original
thinker there.
But she appreciates
it. Yeah, a mop she probably hit me with.
A mop?
A real woman, I mean, they go out and they do their own shopping, they
so,
buy their own mops. I'm going
I
to bring
see,
home a mop.
I see who does the cleaning in your house. You. Don't you? Well, why don't you get off
the
your...
How am I going to clean the house for?
Why don't you get
that's
off
the... That's a woman's job.
Obviously, you do it because you wouldn't give your wife a mop. It seems to me you've got a bathroom.
Yeah, I don't want to give her a mop for. I don't know what kind she likes.
Don't you got a bathroom to clean or something? Get off to your house.
Right. I'm going
to,
over a nice dinner, I'm going to give her a bathroom cleaner.
So there you go. That was from Miami in 1995. That was Margaret Gray talking to a listener about great Valentine's gifts, mops, bathroom cleaner, and the like. Now we move on to yet another selection. This is from a selection off the same CD, 1995. You know what? I'm completely unprepared here. Because that thing was only 2 minutes and fit. No, I don't want you to do it because you don't even know what this crap is. But here's the difference between the Miami CD and the L.A. one. At least they put the times on these. L.A., no, we can't do anything easy here. So I got this thing from 97. I don't know how long that crap is. I don't know how long this stuff, though, here. The 99, they put it on there. And the 98, they didn't. Now we move along to another selection. This is from the same CD, 1995. This is one called Canadians, Part 2.
Sir, I'm back with you. What is our address?
What is your address?
555.
I'm with you.
Apple Way.
What road?
Apple, A-P-P.
Apple, like an eating apple?
Yeah, like an eating an apple.
Yeah.
Way.
Yeah.
Now, if you want the rest of the address, sir, you have to press 3.
Oh, come on. Don't get me
wrong. Sir, I'm sorry. It's part of the system that we have.
What the hell is it 3 for?
Please,
you're doing is fooling around with me.
No, I am not fooling around with
you. You're so full of it.
You have to press 3 to get the rest of the... Sir, please press...
I'll tell you something.
All right, I want you to press 4. I want you to press 4 if you calm down.
We bring so much money to the Florida economy.
Press 6 if you're mad. You have to press 6.
All you're doing as the Miami Chamber of
Commerce... I want you to press 5.
All you're doing is you're chasing it away. They're going to go
you need to press 7 if you're press 7 if you're angry.
Press
7 if press 7 if you're angry. Press 6 if you're angry at me.
What's that?
Press 6 if you're angry.
I'm not going to press any more buttons.
You better press 6.
I'm not going to press
I want you to press 6.
I'm not going to press any more
press the star button if you don't want to do what I tell you to do.
Well, you're not doing what I tell you to.
Press the star. I will do what you tell me to do unless you press the pound button. I want you to press
the press button.
I want you to press the pound button.
I'm not in a survey.
I know you're not in a survey, but you have to press pound because I want to give you the address.
Give me.
I want to give you the address.
Reason why the buy I have to press 6.
Because I want you to.
Well, that's not a good reason.
Yes, it is a good reason.
I want you to jump off a skyscraper.
A skyscraper? You want me to jump off a stapler? What are you talking about, sir? I'm trying to give you information on the...
Give me a good reason.
All right, I'll give you...
I'm going to tell you to jump off a bridge.
Because it's part of our phone mail system. It's part of our survey.
You're telling me to press a button.
Why, I never in my life have been so insulted. I deal with Canadians every day, even though they pick their nose too much. They do what I ask them to do. And how dare you... Sir, press 2. Press 2.
I'm not going to press.
I demand that you press 2 now.
Well, you can demand all you like.
What's your favorite number?
I don't have one.
How about if I press it for you?
For me.
All right, what's your number?
I don't have one.
All right, when were you born?
I wasn't.
There. All right, go ahead. Right ahead, sir.
Let me explain something.
Go right ahead, sir.
Do you know how much money Canadians bring to your economy?
We bring into the economy?
How much money Canadians bring to the Florida economy?
No, I'm not playing games, but
yes,
I just noticed 085 are the first three. Those are the first three notes of Mary Had a Little Lamb.
You know, I'm going to write a letter.
Mary had a little lamb, you see?
I'm going to be writing a letter to the editor.
Can you sing, sir?
This. And believe me.
Sir, have you ever heard of Anne Murray?
Of who?
Anne Murray.
Yeah, I heard of Anne
She's
Murray.
A Canadian singer, and she doesn't talk to me this way. Have you ever heard of Joni Mitchell?
I've heard of a lot of people.
How about
this guy on WYOD and what you're doing?
You know who Axl Rose is?
You're painting 26 million Canadians, but you're saying...
But here's where you're wrong. We painted 70,000. That's right. And they picked their nose.
You're painting all the Canadians with the same paintbrush. When I lived in Mexico...
All right, I want you to...
There's a book called The Ugly American.
Press 2. Thank you for pressing 2.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. We're playing selected cuts from CDs of ours, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show that goes back to 1994. We've heard a couple from our 95 CD. 94, 95, and 96 are from Miami. And 97, 98, 99 from Los Angeles. 99, we're only going to really, just sort of get into that a little bit because we want you to buy that one. But hopefully after the crap you hear tonight, you'll want to buy it. Here's a cut from Miami, and I think I've got this. No, this is from Los Angeles, and this is a character that we created shortly after arriving here. Her name is Mavis. She is a elderly black woman who lives in Bellflower. And she's a Christian. And like a lot of Christians, she didn't get Catholics. For some reason, don't ask me how it happened, but Christians aren't exactly Catholic, and Catholic aren't exactly Christian, and each group sees themselves sort of independent of the other, and they're always like butting heads. What is that about? We don't know. They both believe in Jesus, but beyond that, they just never seem to get along. And this sort of illustrates that. From our 1997 CD, here is Mavis with All You Can Eat Negro.
Do you fear your nephew is in hell?
I feel that my nephew is not with the Lord, no.
Not with the Lord. Then, in other words, in hell.
I don't know. I fear he's not with the Lord, though. And because they ate part of his body like a limbo.
You fear that that Roman Catholic communion is they ate your nephew's body?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have on the line in Van Nuys here a Roman Catholic priest on KFI AM 640. Hello.
How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Listen, ma'am, first of all, I offer my condolences to you on the loss of your nephew.
Are you a priest?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to let you clarify something for you, okay?
Yes.
So this is just, you've been misinformed about the Catholic Church.
Why do you eat people?
Well, if you just hang on, I will explain to you what our belief is, and then you can draw your own conclusion.
But you eat people?
Let me explain what our teaching is, and you draw your own conclusion.
Let the father explain, okay?
Okay, first of all, we believe that when you receive communion, we receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Well, hold on, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
I mean,
I'm just calling to let you know what our belief is.
You eat flesh and blood.
If you want to look at it that way, that's fine.
Oh, my God.
That's fine.
I want to vomit.
This is our belief, and you draw your own conclusion.
I want to vomit.
Ma'am, you got to let the father explain.
Well, why would I want to hear him talk about eating
people? Well, because you've been misinformed.
This is like Hellraiser, like Clive Barker.
Okay, first of all, okay, you're upset because you've been misinformed about what happened to your nephew in our ritual.
You eat the butt, you eat the whole damn thing, though.
Excuse me?
Don't you eat it?
We eat the host, yes.
The host.
But he said he eats the whole body of the man.
That's not what I said.
You said you eat the blood and the flesh.
Of who?
Of the man.
No, of Jesus Christ.
Oh, God, that is a blasphemy.
Well, if you choose to believe that. All I'm trying to do is inform you about our belief because you've been misinformed.
Do you eat up on the booty, too?
I'm not even going to answer that.
I don't understand. What's that mean?
What is this man talking about eating the Lord Jesus?
Let him finish.
Okay.
Let him just say what he has to say.
From the scriptures, ma'am, where Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and said, take this and eat it. This is my body.
Oh, God.
And then he took the cup of wine and he said, take and drink. This is my blood. And again he says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life within you.
Oh, my God. This is Good Friday.
Exactly.
And you're talking about eating up on Jesus.
And I'm just calling you to inform you of what we believe.
You're grubbing on Jesus, ain't you?
If
what?
You choose to believe that.
You're grubbing all over on Jesus.
If that's what you choose to believe.
And my nephew, what about him?
Okay, ma'am, as again.
Macking on Jesus. Them Catholics macked on my boy.
Macked on your boy.
I don't believe that. I'm sorry.
Them Catholics macked on your boy, huh?
You want to laugh at me?
No, Phil. Can I ask you a question?
You son of a bitch, you laugh at me?
Excuse me,
yeah.
Man, let me ask you a question here.
It's like some kind of Negro smorgasbord over there.
Well, I'll tell you. Listen.
Okay, now, as far as that other man is concerned.
It's like a brother buffalo.
Oh, my gosh. I'm in a phone
line. Listen, Father, I thank you for taking the time.
Okay.
I really do.
Ma'am, you have a good Easter.
Well, you pay for your sins.
Well, I'll leave it up to God.
That's true. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Father. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was a Roman Catholic priest.
They're macking on my boy like a brother buffet. Oh, you can eat me. Oh.
What was it? What's it called, man?
All you can eat Negro.
Oh, no.
all-you-can-eat Negro. Oh, God.
So, I understand.
Well, thank you very much.
There you have All You Can Eat Negro. That is from our 1997 CD, Still on the Air. It's the Phil Henry Show here, and we are playing, you know, just selections and cuts from our CDs from 94 forward. We don't have 96. If my wife Maria is listening, could you please bring it over here to the studio, honey? I should have asked you for it. I forgot. 96 is a good one because we have the Larry King shtick on there. And, you know what? I'm going to bring it. I'm going to play it for you guys one of these nights. I can't even describe it, but we goofed Larry King. And I ran into him about 3 years ago at a Museum of Television and Radio thing. I said, "Hi, Larry, I'm Phil Henry. I'm the guy that did the thing." "Ah, it's very funny." Yeah. He had about 16 people standing around him, all very well-dressed, looking very coiffed, and I shuffled up with my gut hanging out, and it was all wrong. Even though I'd done really funny radio, it was inappropriate for that time and place. They all looked good, and I didn't. In any event, that is from our 97 CD. And don't forget, on Thursday night, we're going to have our radiothon for the Best of the Phil Henry Show 99 CD. So if you like some of the crap that you're hearing tonight, you'll enjoy our 99 CD. Is this kind of sound like an infomercial? Which I really would rather it not. All right, here is one from our very first Miami CD, going back to 94. Best of 1994 Phil Henry CD. We did ball games down there in those days, and the Florida Marlins, the Miami baseball team, was not particularly good. This is before they won a World Series. This is before Leon Hernandez. This is before Edgar Renteria. This is before the great team that they had there in 97 when they won the World Series. They were bad. In other words, it's kind of like the way they are now. And this is a ball game between the Florida Marlins and a team of blind musicians.
5-0, blind musicians lead the Florida Marlins, and Rene Latchman's been out to home plate now a number of times. He is protesting the fact that Jeff Healey's seeing eye dog bit Jeff Conine on the rear end, and the home plate umpire is blind himself, so he didn't see it. And that's what's really bothering Latchman, that in honor of the blind musicians, they have a blind home plate umpire. But Latchman's argument falls on deaf ears as well as blind eyes, and he's back in the dugout.
Well, I'll tell you something. I've never seen anything like it. I can understand them changing the rules so that the blind musicians can hit batters. I understand that. And that the Marlins have to walk instead of run. But to let a seeing eye dog attack a player, I've never seen anything like that before.
Well, neither have I, Dave O'Brien. I'll tell you, it's really crazy. So at first base is blind Lemon Jefferson. Over third base is Jeff Healey. 5-0. And blind Blake at the plate. Now, blind Blake has got to be 75 years old. 75 at least, if he's a day. He's got a seeing eye dog down there, and he can barely walk. He's on a crutch. If Pat Rapp can't get this guy out, I am nude outside this stadium come the ninth inning.
Anything can happen, Joe.
Believe me, you don't want to see me naked. Here's the windup in the first pitch. You got to be kidding me. Just hit the ball. He's going down. Healey scores. Now around second base. There goes another runner. He dives in. He's safe at second base. Another double. I don't believe it. Another double down there. As Healey scores, blind Lemon Jefferson goes to third base, and blind Blake with a stand-up double.
Looks like you're taking your clothes off.
Right, right, right.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Is the bitch on?
Oh,
is she still there?
I'm a bitch, am I?
Oh, you certainly are. You're more than a bitch. You're a son of a bitch. That's what you are.
Well, I am
listen,
a
you,
of the media.
You have the nerve to not want the blind children to sit down. Wait, my dear. There's
Why
a God above.
Why should they be allowed in front of the line?
What?
You heard me, you old...
No, you're the old bitch, not me.
How dare you, you old bag.
Listen,
why should
you,
blind children be allowed to the front of the line, yes or no?
They should
yes
be allowed.
No.
And you wait,
what?
Your day is coming. Maybe someday you'll be blind and see how what it's like.
No, darling, I take very good care of myself.
Yeah, you must have a fat ass in everybody's way.
Oh,
that's what
ass
you are.
I have been told I have a very pert ass.
Oh, yeah, I can
breath
imagine. Yeah.
I've been told
you
I
know
have
what?
Nice
you're
ass
all stuck on yourself, and I bet you look like a freak.
Exactly how old are you?
What would you give to know?
I can guess, and I think it begins with an 8.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Well, you're not a good guesser.
All right, it begins with a 9.
Well, what do you begin with a 9?
So,
what do you begin with a 9?
You begin with a 9 iron.
No.
I went to work an event. I'm not sitting collecting my pension. I went out and I worked an event.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a press pass. All right,
there's plenty of people working. Right, stop bragging about you. Braggadocia.
A what?
Everything is you, you, you.
Let me guess, you're Jewish. I was.
What does that have to do with anything?
I'll tell you right now. I'm working. I'm contributing to society.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
not sitting watching reruns of Sheriff John and going up and shuffling and getting myself.
Yeah, keep the putting medals on yourself.
I'm
yeah.
not shuffling in.
You know what? Self praise stinks.
And I will tell you, I'm not praising myself. I work for a living. I'm not shuffling around with a tin cup.
Yeah.
And when I ask to get to the front of the line, when I ask for a good table in a restaurant, they better hop to it.
Well, it's
and,
a good
let me
thing,
let me ask you something, Margaret.
Listen, you.
I need
it's
to ask a
good
question.
Thing I wasn't there because I would have taken you by the head and pushed you right to the end of the line.
I would have scratched you and slapped you.
I would have grabbed your wig off your head.
I would have taken you and pushed you.
Yeah. You just
then,
try
then,
it. You just try it.
I would have slapped your roof.
I would have straightened you out in 1 minute.
Let me guess. Your favorite actor is Andy Griffith.
What?
Your favorite actor is Andy Griffith.
What has Andy Griffin got to do with this?
Andy Griffin?
Well, who are you talking about?
I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about the state of your life there in Anaheim, there in the small condominium that your daughter bought you, driving off to see the Sybil reruns or the Sybil taping in Hollywood.
Don't you wish you had it?
$5.
Yeah, don't you wish you had it?
I bet you make your weekend runs to Laughlin, don't you?
I certainly do.
Oh, you bet you do. Throwing those nickels into the machine while some poor father of five is sitting next to you. He wants that big $50,000
jackpot. I don't use the nickel machines. I use the dollar machine.
$50,000 jackpot because you're so damn lucky. And I hate the old people who get lucky on slot machines.
You know, you take a lot for granted. How do you know how old I am?
You sit there in front of the nickel slot and then you shuffle over to the dollar
slot. No, I don't sit in front of the nickel slot. You got that wrong. I sit at the dollar slot.
Then you go and play some Keno. Go and play a little. Eat your one a day and drink your Metamucil and hush up.
What, are you jealous? Are you jealous that you...
All right, well, this is way off the point here.
You're too busy condemning the blind people, so God will punish you. Don't worry about that.
I'm simply saying a blind person doesn't need to be to the front of the line. What is there to see on the
roller coaster? They certainly do have to be to the front of the line.
Why? What is there to see on the roller coaster? Oh,
because they are blind, you let them get to the front of the line.
Oh, you're upset because they canceled Murder, She Wrote. Now,
you're full of crap.
Come on. All right, thank you very much. So let me say this. I wanted to say this. If you're standing in line, what is your name, ma'am, in Anaheim? The lady in Anaheim, what's your name?
Ruth.
And what, in Margaret?
Yes.
If Ruth was in front of you in line, what would you say to her?
I'd say, excuse me, I'm a working member of the media. Would you please step aside?
Media? You know what you can do with that media, don't you?
All right, and then what would you say to her?
Shove it up your behind.
There she is. That's Ruth from Anaheim here on the Phil Hendry Show. That's from our 1998 CD, A Chilling Day for Talk Radio. And Ruth is like a regular caller to the show. She still don't know that it's me doing the voice that she's talking to. But she's a great gal, and we haven't heard from her in a long time. Ever since we went national, I don't think she knows to dial 1-800-449-8686. She's still dialing the KFI number and talking to Loxy, who hangs around till about 9 o'clock just to talk to her. Anyway, it's the Phil Hendry Show. Coming up on Thursday night, our second radiothon for the Best of the Phil Hendry Show 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. So you don't have to have a computer. You don't have to order it online. You can order it over the phone. We'll give you the phone number Thursday night and tell you how you can do it. It's coming up Thursday night, our second radiothon for the Phil Hendry Show. I'm Phil Hendry, and...
ICS.
1-800-449-8686. This is a show this Friday night that we're doing selections from our previous year's CDs, the Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs. And now we go to another cut from our 1997 CD, still on the air. And this is one featuring Dr. Jim Sadler, sometimes known as Doctor, sometimes known just as Jim Sadler, veterinarian. On this particular show, he was a paranormalist talking to a woman about the existence of ghosts.
I have a lady on the line in Long Beach. Dr. Jim Sadler is with us. This lady has described a experience with a ghost at the foot of her bed, or actually at the foot of a couch, ma'am?
Yes. Uh-huh.
You were sleeping, and at the foot of her couch, she awoke Dr. Sadler, and she said she saw an apparition, a ghost of some kind.
Hi, ma'am?
Yes.
This is Dr. Sadler.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you again.
You say this was a white man?
I would say he was a white man.
About how?
I could not describe his face to you if I tried.
So you didn't recognize him?
No, I did not recognize the man at all.
At what point did you indicate to the ghost you wanted him to get into bed with you?
I never wanted him to get into bed with me.
Well,
I awakened out of a sound sleep, and there he stood at the foot of my bed, at the foot of the couch. And my friend, because she was ill, that's why I was staying on her couch with her at her house.
Yes.
And I was asleep there, of course. And I, when I saw him, I tried to raise up.
Did you invite him in psychically?
No.
And
no,
you say,
I was too tired. I'd come off of a job where I was taking care of a little sick man
ma'am.
I was a nurse.
Can you tell me if what you were wearing was sheer?
No, it was not.
It was not sheer or see-through in any way, shape, or form?
No,
Was the ghost shapely?
Well, I wouldn't say...
Alluring? Well, did you find the ghost to be alluring? Did you find the experience...
No, it was more startling to me than anything.
Did you find the experience to be erotic in any way?
No, very frightening.
Frightening? And
just
so you say you were paralyzed by the man.
Yes, I was. I couldn't even speak.
Did you see any indication from this ghost that he was trying to communicate to you in any way, shape, or form?
No. He might have...
Did he use hand signals?
No,
he
didn't.
Did he give you the finger?
No, he did not.
He did not give you the finger?
No, he didn't do anything to me.
Didn't you say at the outset of the call that when you woke up, you saw the ghost and it was giving you the finger?
And no, he was not.
No, she didn't say that.
I thought I heard her say that.
No, I did not.
And you say that he was aroused? Did you not tell me that this ghost was noticeably aroused?
No, I did not say that.
There was
he stood at the foot of my bed.
But you said there was a disformation of the clothing in which you indicated that he was... sexually aroused.
No, I did no such thing.
No, I don't remember her saying that, Dr. Sadler.
Phil, if you don't mind, let me conduct this interview. Well,
I resent the way you're asking me all these ridiculous questions.
I said
the man stood at the foot of my couch.
I understand, ma'am. I did
not say anything about anything sexually whatsoever. I'm insulted. I'm 70 years old.
Yes, ma'am.
I resent such insinuations.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Let me just say that I've conducted hundreds of these interviews with the paranormal. Much of it has to do with erotic energy. Forgive me if I have angered you. Please forgive me, but this is very important information.
Well, to me, it's ridiculous. I feel like I want to hang up on you. I'm insulted by the...
Well, Dr. Sadler is a noted paranormalist, and...
I don't care how paranormal he is. This is absolutely ridiculous. A man stood at my foot of my bed.
He didn't indicate
anything in any way, shape, or form.
What do you mean by...
When I started to raise up to scream for my friend, he disappeared.
All right, ma'am. You said that he was standing on your foot?
I did no such thing.
You said that he stood at the foot.
He stood at the foot of the couch.
He stood on your... He broke the foot of the couch?
I'm going to hang up. You're absolutely ridiculous to me.
Did you say that... Hello?
Well, she's hung up.
Damn it. I wanted to ask more questions.
That's Dr. Jim Sadler from... Still on the air. Dr. Sadler was on our show how long ago, Craig? We had Dr. Sadler on a couple of weeks ago, Mike. What was he on talking about? Hadn't had Dr. Sadler on for a while. And when we do have him on, he's always a treat. But that was him talking to a lady about paranormal experience. I think it was around sometime around Halloween when we had him on a couple of years ago. So that's from our CD, Still on the Air. Coming up, we'll have more selections from past years. Best of the Phil Henry Show compact discs. And we are... on Thursday night, having our radiothon for the Best of the Henry Show 99, Communism is Neat. Oh, the condoms were too big for the German men. Well, there you go. That's next Thursday night. Back with more from our CDs on The Phil Henry Show.